Hey, everybody. Code Pen Radio number 409. Incredible. That we've done, actually, in this little 400 series of podcasts, we've done some podcasts that have led up to this moment. Not that this is some huge moment, but it's it shoehorns in there nicely. What we're going to be talking about is a script tag, angle bracket script, that we, not even that we want to, but we have to inject it into what we call the preview of your pen. So that you know, you're writing code and we're as fast as we can showing you the result, basically the website that you're building on CodePen, that side-by-side code attitude that's at the heart of CodePen. And actually, if you pluck that out as a preview URL and view it elsewhere too, which we sometimes in the past have called debug mode and stuff like that, we have to put this script in there too. And that's because it has a whole bunch of important jobs that help basically the UX of the site. So we need to get that script in there. And that's what this podcast is going to be about. With me is my friend and coworker, Stephen Shaw. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Chris.
Yay. Yeah. And this was kind of your idea, especially because you worked on it a bunch too. And there's the reasons I'm like, wow, this is actually perfect to talk about now is because just last week, you and I talked about the analytics proxy. That doesn't have a lot to do with this, but it does in the sense that it's a Cloudflare worker. And this we actually leverage Cloudflare workers for too. It's probably going to get about 1,000 times more traffic than the other one, but you know, there's
at least
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we talked about the heartbeat before already, and we skipped over talking about this, but when we talked about the heartbeat, which is the thing that stops infinite loops in the browser and is pretty important for CodePen, that's just one of the jobs that this script has. And so I don't know if we totally skipped over it, but we skipped over like, how does that JavaScript get in there that starts doing that heartbeat? That's one thing. And then, you know, I said angle bracket script, that's what we're putting in there. Where's the source of that script? Well, there's an SRC attribute on there that points somewhere. Where does it point? Well, it points to a public facing JavaScript file on our CDN, as we call it, or that public directory that we have. And we did a podcast about that. So there's basically three podcasts that all kind of smash together. And we're like, well, yeah, but we didn't talk about what we call CF render, just, you know, as a silly little naming convention. We just named that the folder that render, meaning render the website that you build. That's kind of an internal term that's like, that's the rendered version of your site. And CF just meaning Cloudflare. So, gosh, where do we go from that? I would be interested to know, like, what you think of as the jobs of this crucial script are, so people can get a feel for just how important it is to CodePen.
Yeah, it's really one of the keys to making CodePen work. Without this script, you basically just have an iframe, and there's no like intelligence to it or anything like that. So this script we inject into the preview. And that allows us to do the heartbeat, like we talked about, so that if the page is lagging or anything like that, we can pull that preview so it doesn't take down the entire editor. And then this script also reports any like console log, console error, all those console functions back up to the editor. So you can have that nice in-browser console, which is super handy for like mobile devices or other browsers where you may not have full like dev tools handy.
Yeah, I find myself using it like kind of a lot. I'm always of two worlds with the console because I'm like, oh, it's so basic compared to like the real browser console, which is just this all-powerful beast of web development, and then our little baby console. But hell, our little baby console's always in the right context. It looks nice. It's part of the UI. It's easy to use with the keyboard shortcut. There's all these like niceties with our console. And if all you're doing is console.log, well, it tends to be the one you should use. But how do we get that?
If you're sharing that with somebody else, like you can share it with the console open so that they can see those logs, and that's perfect for demos and stuff.
So two jobs so far, heartbeat, console, already crucial.
And then even more crucial than those two probably is the live preview, the live refresh. We've basically always done that on CodePen. And that basically just makes the page update whenever your code changes so that you can see the results of that code.
Yeah, so we detect that a new build is finished and then we just refresh it so you see what's going on in that live preview. Inside the editor, we could do that from the parent. We could just replace the iframe or something.
I think we do to a certain extent, so that we can be a little bit smarter about how like the iframes are swapped and all of that.
Right.
But if you're opening that preview externally because you want to see it in full view, you want to have the browser dev tools open for easy inspection and all that, well, we still have the script injected to live refresh whenever you make a change there.
Absolutely. So that is live preview is what we're calling it now. We just called it live view in the past in the old editor, and that it was just nice. You could open 10 of them if you wanted to. There's kind of like a classic GIF of me back in the day. I remember looking at the GIF because
yes.
It's fun because it was I was like in an old house, you know, you like move when you work. I'm like, I remember that office. That was cool. And I had my classic iPad and phone and stuff. And I changed like background green to background red or something, and then whooshed with my hand. And the timing was perfect. They
yeah.
all turned to red at the same time.
What was that old thing? Browser Lab or something like that, that like had, you know, hundreds
yeah.
of real devices to test things on. It always reminded me of that.
So we had that, and that was nice for like responsive testing and stuff. But honestly, it's still used for who knows why. You know, you just want to, sometimes people do it just because they want the preview open in a different browser tab so they can drag it over to their other monitor or whatever it is. Every time I do it and it works so flawlessly now, I'm like, oh yeah, that is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good
job.
Something teaches me about like, when you open up a preview like that and you make some code changes, when it's a separate window, always having to go over there and hit Command R
yeah.
to refresh and be like, hey, you don't have to do it. We're your Command R buddy.
Well, and this was a feature of CodePen before like hot module reloading was a thing, right? You know, like
yeah,
this goes way,
true.
Way back. And so it was handy then. It's still handy now.
Yeah. That is a thing that I wonder what kind of, if we'll get too much pushback or if people prefer it or what, is that we used to do this, like speaking of hot module reloading, we used to like, if the changes were just CSS, we'd attempt to like pluck out all the CSS and inject only the new CSS. It's not impossible that we could do that now, but we're not anymore. It just seemed like less important now or something. And there's some problems
well,
with it.
Well, because we have multiple files now, right, it's a lot
yeah.
it's a lot less easy to just swap something out. But if we did, it would be in this preview script where we'd have that kind of listener logic and be able to swap that
it
out.
It would, yeah. We'd have to pull out arbitrary amount of CSS and put in an arbitrary amount of CSS. Yeah, there's certainly challenges with how this works. But, you know, speaking of that, like, how do you know, like, you can have an arbitrary number of CSS files. You can also have, even more challengingly, an arbitrary number of HTML files. So
yeah.
Where do we inject that script? It used to just be obvious in the old editor. We have a template. And you put the template in the thing, you know, or whatever. You put the script tag in the template and there you go. But now we don't know. Let's say you have a 11D site or something. That's kind of an internal block that we're messing with. We're calling those base blocks, like the ones that are site builders. Those are not in the public beta yet either, but they will be. We're very into the idea that you could like build static site generator websites on CodePen.
Can't wait.
Yeah, totally, right? It's going to be amazing. But how many pages is an 11D site? Arbitrary, many. You know, you can already build multi-page sites in this editor nicely. You just make more HTML pages. Which of those should have the script injected? The answer is all of them. So, but how? This became a much more challenging thing. I remember in the early days being like, oh, cripes, what are we going to do with this?
Yeah.
Like, how are we going
to
do it?
It took us a while to figure out the approach there.
Yeah, it did indeed. And it's funny now, it's almost come full circle. And now we're like, if we needed our compiler, we call it CP compiler, to do this job, it would be more than happy to. Alex likes to remind us that this thing is like an all-powerful code understanding and manipulation machine. It would be, dare I say, trivial for us to inject this script into your HTML files with the power that we have with stuff called like tree sitter and things that that I'd like to get Alex on the show talking about. He's big on the power of tree sitter. But we've chosen not to have CP compiler do it. And it's basically because of the concept of deployment on CodePen. Like we said, we don't want to inject this script on your deployed site. It's not appropriate for us to do so. You don't need it there. And but we do want to when you are showing the preview. So all of a sudden we're in this place where we would need to fork. We'd need to make two different builds of your site. And we're just like, we will do that eventually, but we're going to hold off on that for a minute. So how else could we sometimes inject this script and sometimes not inject this script? And we'll get to that in a minute. There's two more quick jobs.
Our preview, since we're talking about multi-page sites and all that, one of the things this script does is actually report what the current page is of the preview back up to the editor. So in the editor, the preview now has like an actual address bar, a whole little browser bar there. So we keep track of the history. So there's back and forward buttons, and we show you which page you're currently viewing, so that if you're debugging an about page or a contact page, like, you can tell that you're on that page, and the live refresh is going to refresh that page.
Indeed.
So that's pretty important. And we also use this script to report runtime errors back up to the editor, which is incredibly handy for debugging JavaScript.
So not just console.log, but if your query selector all fails to select anything or whatever, it'll report that up too.
Right, like the hard browser errors. Anytime like a thrown error isn't caught by anything, it would be reported as these kind of runtime errors.
And you'll get a little red X because you probably should know that, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. It does make me wish that it would catch more stuff. Remember, I think there was one when, like, let's say you link to a CSS file that doesn't exist or something. There'll be a network error in the console, and you can kind of see that and suss that out. That is, like, somehow unreportable or uncatchable.
You could add, like, some detection for that, but that it's a little more heavy-handed.
Alex totally has plans to do that.
Right. That's kind of the thing where TreeSitter in the compiler, the super smart compiler, would be able to, help report that kind of thing, like missing a file.
Or that there's, like,
a
standard across DevTools tooling. I don't know. Like, wouldn't that seem nice? Like, anything that DevTools says, we get access to on the parent as well. No such API exists, I'm afraid. So lots of jobs. That's five pretty bold jobs for one script, which we're trying to keep very lightweight because it's going to just gets injected on your site. It really is lightweight. It's really kind of not a big deal.
Yeah, there's no React. There's no real, like, libraries or anything extensive in it. It's all just hand-coded little JavaScript that does its job and gets out of the way.
Yeah, and then is kind of compiled in our CDN episode. I talked about that with Robert. I think that scripts like this are, we can write them in TypeScript and they get all, what's the compiler we use for it? The low level.
Is it Vite?
Smasher. CP or not CP.
Or, ES build.
Is like known for its ability to TypeScriptify and smash files down into tiny little pieces. And that's what gets deployed to our CDN and linked to from this script. So the trick then, though, is, so let's say you have a page, we'll go classic style. You got the index.html, and because it's a brochure site or whatever it is, you've made an about page and a contact page or whatever it is. Kind of classic stuff. I've done this more times than I care to admit in my career. Yeah, now you got three pages. How do we inject the script into all three of them as they need to be done? I can tell you. Do you remember how we do it?
I do remember. This was fun to figure out. But we talked about the Cloudflare worker. So we have basically this Cloudflare worker that's listening to every network request to, like, these preview pages, anything on the preview site, and we look for the content type of the request, and if it's HTML. We then...
Or XHTML. Or maybe not.
Did we? We're on the fence about that one, if that's still working. Two users will be concerned about that, and that's okay. But
hilarious.
But if we detect it's HTML, we try to parse that, and we use something called HTML Rewriter. That's a Cloudflare utility, right? It's built into, like, Wrangler
some miraculous thing that they offered. I don't know if they wrote it from scratch or if there's some kind of, like, node library or something that makes it happen. But anyway, there's two criteria, right? There's is an HTML file, which you can just know from the headers of the response, which is wonderful, and a URL. That's what's going to prevent us from doing it on your deployed site. We'll just ignore that. The worker will not run. But on our, what is the URL right now? Pens.io or something?
I'll double check it real quick.
App? It's codepen.app maybe?
.dev. Codepen.dev.
That's what we use in production?
That's for the production site. Yeah. We've got a different one on local, so it always throws me back.
We should call our development one .prod just to really confuse us.
Yeah.
It's the reverse. Everybody.
Well, it's for the user who is developing. This is their development site, their code
exactly.
dev site. Yeah. So, right. So HTML pages, they're requested on the preview domain. We then use HTML rewriter
which is this tool that's like, would you like to mess with the HTML that's coming through this pipe? Because you can.
Yes, please.
It's an incredible project. And it does it somehow miraculously fast. So what you could, you know, like we're used to in JavaScript being able to like whatever, query selector all or something. It's a little bit like that. I mean, the APIs are different, right?
Slightly different.
It is slightly different, but it is as APIs like that. Like, do you want to mess with the IMG tags? Do you want to inject some header tags? What do you want to do? Like, you pretty much can do anything to the HTML as it's coming through the pipe. And then it's there for the user before they've even seen the HTML. Mm-hmm. And what do we do with it?
First thing we're going to try to do is inject it into the head, because it's a script that really needs to run before the page is like fully rendered, because that's how we're going to help with the infinite loop heartbeat kind of stuff. If we don't inject that first and it's, you know, at the end, like at the end of the body or whatever, like scripts are normally supposed to be, it's going to be a little too late for it to catch any like third-party libraries or even the user scripts. Like it's not going to be able to report that heartbeat. So we try and inject it first thing, and then and then everything else runs and executes, and the heartbeat works as expected, and that's great. But sometimes this is user authored HTML, so sometimes there's not a head, sometimes there's a body, sometimes there's not a body, sometimes people expect it to be classic CodePen, and we'll have some answers for that. But if there's not a fully formed HTML document, we kind of have to just inject the script however we can.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So however we can indeed, which is, I don't know, you found plenty of edge cases, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, we don't want to be too, I don't know, mommy about it. Be like, your page better be perfect or you're not getting the script. You know, people screw up all the time. CodePen is a place of learning. So if you write some gnarly ass malformed HTML, we still need to get that script in there somehow. And it's just shocking to me what our like tests are. They're like, what if the user basically like, what if it's an encyclopedia of emojis or, you know, like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't even have to resemble HTML for this thing to ultimately work, which is incredible to me.
Yeah. HTML rewriter is generally smart enough for us to do that. And we can, add some fallbacks and things where needed.
And credit to them, we can run it locally. So we can, these tests actually run against what would really happen in real HTML rewriter, which is like, oh God, thank you, jeepers, you know.
So
it's the kind of thing where you'd think might be hard to test, at least identical to how production tests it. But no, we even fake a request going through it and intercepting it and all
right,
that.
So that we can do the content type and all that. We want to make sure that detection works correctly. Because you can't do this on an image, you know, you wouldn't want to even do it on like SVG or anything like that. So making sure that it's only injected on HTML pages is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't we even have a bug already? Like early days of the beta, we had a weird fragment shader XML type or something that we injected the script into, and it borked it for something. Anyway.
Yeah, some things just need to be plain text, even if they look like HTML, like they're XML or anything like that. Our content type serving was just off on those files. And so we had to.
We fixed it via content type, not by making this thing any smarter.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. It was the server's fault. We'll pass that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pass that blame along.
Yeah. It's the server. That's its fault.
Fix it, Alex.
All right. That's cool. So this thing, yeah, looks for it and just gets that script in there. God, I thought that would be the longer part of the episode, is figuring out how to get the script in there, but it's not really. I mean, it really just, you know, the code is for it is relatively small and relatively boring. It's like, look at request. Is good request? Is look like HTML? Yes. And then we're like, okay, smash script in. And it does it. There's a couple of forks in the road, like, you already kind of covered this, but it like tries to put it in the head, but there might not even be a head. So it just puts it wherever, that kind of thing. A couple of edge cases here and there. I wonder how much we'll have to touch this. You know, I have some weird feeling that it's pretty robust.
Yeah. Hopefully not. The actual like injection script should be just set it and forget it. We'll probably end up modifying the actual script that's in the page over time as you know, different scenarios come up.
Bugs, yeah,
with certain
more
console
often.
Logs or something. But
right. But this maybe is pretty solid. And, you know, there is a world. So here's some brass tacks business stuff around this. You type the letter A, let the build rerun. It's already kind of amazing how much work needs to be done to re-render that. And all is happening pretty quickly. Like, and I'm pretty decently happy with the speed, especially because, as Alex reminds us often, there's like zero optimization has been done on purpose. You know, that what isn't there some whatever nerd t-shirt that's like premature optimization is the root of all evil or something. We've taken that to heart. Like, let's make it all always work exactly right, and then we'll put in the little caching layers here and there. I happen to know he's working on today as we speak, so implementing our most powerful caching layer of this. So that's cool. And it's already pretty fast. So it's just nothing going to get faster. One of the interesting things I think too is like if an identical build like this has ever happened before, it doesn't even run it at all.
Yeah. That's going to be
pretty
cool.
In an anonymous fashion. It will be, because I think they'll grow and grow the number of permutations that have built, especially the pretty simple one.
Well, and the idea is to have that like even at the file level, right? For like
like this file in this state has been processed that way.
Right. Yeah. So it should be,
that's gonna
pretty,
be wild.
Pretty fast.
Pretty fast. But, you know, because they're, you know, you can imagine, oh, wow, this thing's got a lot of work to do, right? So anything it can skip would be great. Well, you type that A key, it rebuilds. HTML rewriter needs to look at their response and inject the script and do all this stuff, right? That is an execution of this Cloudflare worker. And you're paying for Cloudflare workers at that level. So imagine all users all at once, every single update to every single pen or anybody viewing it is running this worker. So it needs to run really fast, and it could be relatively expensive. I mean, our Cloudflare bill is already expensive, but I think it's expensive because we're just on some enterprise plan that has a whole bunch of headroom on it, because we know that this release is imminent. So I think we'll be fine. But at the same time, it's one of those things where we're obliged to be worried about it. We need to sit around and be like, but what if the pricing for Cloudflare workers doubled or something? It's a little bit less under our control and a little less predictable than AWS is, which is usually the way these things work, is like, we're always pleasantly surprised that AWS makes things cheaper over time. it's just a cool thing they do. I mean, I guess it keeps you hooked or whatever it is. But, you know, you never really know. And it's nice to know that we don't, like, absolutely have to do it this way. If we needed CP compiler to do this, we would just do that.
Yeah.
So there's that. And that to me is, like, comforting to know that there's, like, escape hatches from tech like this in a way. Okay. Any other thoughts, Steven? CF render.
Yeah, it's a very important script. We spent some good time getting this working and getting the injection and all the little jobs that it does working right for backwards compatibility with the classic editor, but plus adding in all this new stuff that we need for this entirely new kind of environment. So I think it does a pretty good pretty good job.
It does. It, what I don't know, the fondness I feel for it comes from like the early days of this project and being like, oh my God, what are we going to do about infinite loops? Ugh, like a heart sinking, like, what are we going to do? Into this heart sinking feeling, what are we going to do about all the other jobs? Like, it just got so complicated. And now it's like, oh, this thing works great. Cool.
Yeah, the classic editor, we touched on that. It was all like template based. Like, we had a template that all the code was getting injected into, and part of the template's job was to inject the script. So like figuring out how we were going to do that in this new setup was already a challenge. But then adding in all the extra little jobs it had to do was quite something.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mr. Steven. This thing's just going to chug along doing its thing, and nobody will ever need to think about it again, including us.
Right. Hopefully you'll never even notice it.
All right. Cheers. We'll be back next week with some other weird crap.
No doubt.